You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 240, Action Comics, Once More with Feeling. And welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 240. I am Paul French, and today I feel a bit like Lightning Lad. Because I feel like I got like a robot arm going on, because dealing with car seats, any of the parents among us, they know car seats are a pain. And so I kind of yanked my shoulder or my elbow the other week, setting up the car seat in Jan's mom's car while she was taking care of Ella while we were in the hospital with the new kid. And I've just had some sort of ongoing carpal tunnel stuff going on in that hand as well. So today I'm actually wearing, like, I've got a carpal tunnel brace on, and then I've got the elbow brace for the tennis elbow from the yank and the thing. So I feel like I've got a complete robot arm going on here. So
sweet.
I'm total cyborg, dude.
New and improved.
Oh yeah. Better, stronger, faster. and that's good, because one of our number not doing quite as well. Darren is learning the thorny side of having picked Infectious Lad for his SmackDown team.
Infectious Lass,
yes. Well, you know.
Well, she infected herself with the
Grandin Genitorosal virus.
Yeah.
She infected herself with the Profem. Oh wait.
No, Profem's a medication, totally different.
Oh, silly me.
Jeez, Paul.
It's Grandin Gender Reversal Virus.
Yeah.
Wow.
If there's one thing I know, it's that that Legion of Substitute Heroes special.
Trust God on that one.
Yes, indeed. So anyone who's coming up with Stump the Sub questions, there you go. All right, over to you, Matt.
Well, I'm Matt Kramer, and this week I am commencement kid. We spent all afternoon at a college, at my wife's alma mater graduation, to see some friends graduate, and it wasn't all boring, because at least the keynote speaker was, for all you statistics and political science nerds, Nate Silver.
Oh, love that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
He accurately predicted all 50 states for the 2012 presidential election.
Total stats nerd. And and he was like, baseball. You know, basically everybody's looking at the wrong numbers. Everyone was talking about the polls that were out there, and he's like, I know you think that, but it's not, and here's why. And so he had a regular blog called 538 that he was running, and it was very interesting reading during that whole time. So anyway, that was when you used to zone out. When Darren and I would start talking about that stuff, that's the dude we were talking about.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I definitely should have went to that graduation or whatever.
So there you have it. That's cool.
Yes, I agree.
At least I think so. yes.
Oh, dear. And I am Scott Coles, and tonight I am... Oh, totally unprepared lad again. I actually thought I had something, but then I totally forgot what it was. Totally. I'm totally lad. Totally.
Totally. Totally. Totally.
Like, gag me with a spoon.
Like totally. Starshine.
Johnny Slash. Hey, but at least yesterday you were TCAF lad.
Oh, that's right. I totally was. That's what it was. Thanks, Paul.
So tell us what you saw. What was cool? What was awesome? What was
You know, TCAT, the Toronto Comics Arts Festival, held every year in the beautiful Toronto Reference Library. It's a big, like 5 or 6 floor structure with a big open area in the middle. So it's...
Is that the one from Scott Pilgrim?
Yes, it is.
Yes. So yeah, we went in there. We went on Saturday this year instead of the Sun. We usually go on the Sunday, and now I kind of know why, because the Saturday is crazy busy.
It was busy, yeah. Like I remember last year, it was pretty nuts.
We went there, and what they usually have set up is the bottom floor is your more indie comics guys, like your zines and your DIY stuff and your European guest stars and all that stuff. And then there's the second floor, and in the one gallery has web comics stuff. And
wow.
And that's also where the Owl Kids section is too.
Mm-hmm.
So that section, I mean, being web comics, it has a much wider audience, a much bigger fan base. So we went up there to try and get in, and the line snaked nearly around the entire circumference of the the library.
Wow.
It was a fairly quickly moving line because people were sort of going in and out of that gallery, but still we were waiting for at least good 20 minutes just to get into there. Only lost one of the kids once, so that's good.
No. Yeah. Shudder.
One kid says, you know, they're at their kids section, and I went to look at something else. And so then the one kid goes, well, hey, I have to go to the bathroom. You stay here, and I'll be right back. The other kid doesn't hear it because it's pretty loud in there and thinks that she wants him to follow her. So he follows her, but not close enough to see where she goes.
Oh, no.
So long story short, he ends up realizing that he can't find her. So he just goes and he sits on a bench and plays and reads his comics by the fountain that he'd commented on earlier in the day. So yeah. That's where we found him.
Yeah.
He was just not concerned at all. He was just sitting there.
Yeah. Now I got time to read this stuff uninterrupted.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a little bit, whoa, but it turned out okay. So
yeah. Good, good, good.
Oh yeah. We were, talked to Danielle Corsetto.
Love her. She's awesome. Yes.
Lovely lady. Blah, 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 blah. We picked
girls,
up.
Girlswithslingshots.com, everyone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Didn't really pick up too much. I picked up a couple books from a woman named Jess Fink. She does an online comic. She did Chester 5000.
Oh.
Oh, I've heard of that.
The erotic Victorian robot on girl action story. And she also did a fun little time travel / autobio comic called We Can Fix It. Both very good, very funny and charming. If you're into girl on robot action, definitely check out Chester 5000.
Who isn't? Come on.
Exactly. So yeah, it was good fun. And then we did the, of course, annual run to the Sushi Shack as well, the all you can eat sushi place.
Was that the one that we went up to that first year?
It's the one we generally go to.
Yeah.
It's just the one just up the street there.
Yeah, that one was good.
And oh man, we bit off a little more than we could chew. And oh my gosh. So we were left with like four pieces of sushi and absolutely no one could touch them. We were just like, I can't do it.
Still in a hurry.
So we ended up just putting them in a napkin and I put them in my pocket until we left. There's no way they're going to charge me extra for sushi being on the plate, right? So it's like, ah, oh, forget it. Just and just put them all in there.
Oh, that was good sushi.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for all that sushi that I finished.
Exactly as much as we could eat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I'm almost positive they were bringing us stuff that we did not order.
It gets difficult after a time.
But we just kept eating it, and then we were like, oh my God, we still have more stuff coming.
Because you order a bunch of things, right? Like you order, like, I'm going to get the dynamite roll, I'm going to get the spicy tuna, I'm going to get this. And they start bringing stuff, and some of it's on the same plate, some of it isn't. And so it's not like someone says, here's your dynamite roll. And at the end of the day, you're sitting there with three or four things, and you're like, so which one do you think this was?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's order it again and see if the same thing comes.
Yeah, I think sushi is it's all the same thing. It's just a different name.
I can see that happening at times.
They could call it something different. How would you know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it was things like they brought out like two extra bowls of seaweed salad. And I mean, I love seaweed salad, so I ate them. But I'm like, it was just like, I'm pretty sure I didn't order two more of these. And then there was a plate of tempura shrimp with some sauce on them. And like, did anybody order these? And we're like, no.
No, but we're going to eat them.
Well, we ate them, yeah.
Sure. That will get billed for them. Yeah, they're like the kitchen keeps making mistakes. Just take it out to one of the tables. If they don't eat it, we'll charge them for it.
Great. Take it to that fat nerd. They'll eat it.
We
were there, and the table beside us was a young couple. I think it seemed very much like they were on a first date, perhaps.
Ooh.
So and clearly neither of them had ever done all-you-can-eat sushi before. So it was quite amusing.
So dude really stepped up to the plate then.
Oh, I know. Grappling with the situation. Watching them fumble around with chopsticks was adorable.
I'm too white to use chopsticks.
This guy totally was too, because he was just like stabbing the sushis with his one chopstick and putting it in his mouth. And she's trying, but she's got them all wrong. And oh, it was funny.
Yeah.
But she's just laughing the whole time because she has no idea what's going on. And she's like, what is this? I don't. He ordered a bunch of stuff, and he didn't realize that when you order like the California roll or whatever, that's like eight pieces.
Yeah.
So he had like a whole load of stuff checked off, I guess. And she came back to him and she said, "You do realize, in you know her broken English word, like this many pieces, this six pieces, eight, six to eight." He's like, "So I should get less then?"
What are you saying?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. As we were leaving, I just clapped him on the shoulder and said, "Good luck, buddy. Good luck."
Nice. You're a good man, sir.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
So that was fun.
Cool.
That's when we called Paul and said, "Paul, we have too much sushi. Come out here. Come save us."
Yeah.
That wasn't meant to be a taunt. That was us.
I thought it was the taunt, which makes it funnier. No, I totally played the tough card yesterday, and the kid was acting up, and it's like, you know, if I have to talk to you about this again, then we're not going to go to the convention today. Figuring that would cure it.
Smarten her up, yeah.
Yeah, not so much. She totally called my bluff. So it's like,
then you have to go through it.
Yeah, you can't say, you know, and I just shouldn't have played the big card. As it was, I was a little bit iffy because I had family visiting in the morning, and they left, and they didn't really leave until around 1 o'clock. And Janet had a rough night the night before with the little one, and so it's kind of like, you know, do I just go myself? Well, no, I can't leave her with both kids after she's had a rough night, so it was just like, yeah, discretion is the better part of valor. I'll have to miss this one out, and so that was the text that I went to send you. His kid totally called my bluff, and then I forgot to hit send, and then you guys started sending me pictures of sushi, and it was like, oh man.
Well, that's the thing. You said kid totally called my bluff, and I was like, what bluff?
What are you talking about? Yeah, exactly.
You didn't say any of this stuff
because
to me,
I didn't finish the story originally, and I just realized, oh, I never sent this. Not, you know, I'm forgetting that I hadn't given you the lead up. So yeah.
How much sleep have you gotten, Paul?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, because the weekend was a little rough that way. So it's as though it's as like I sent Scott a message that basically said to get to the other side.
And I was like, I see.
I don't
How
get
very
it.
Zen of you.
$20, the same as in town.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba. But yeah, it was a good time.
Cool. All right. Well, we have a whole lot to get to today, guys. We have some Sump the Subs questions.
A very big shoe.
We have so some Sump the Subs questions we're going to get to a little later on. We have a couple of SmackDown rounds for the two of you. And of course, musical guest Lindsay Buckingham.
Again?
What's up with that? And... But first, and foremost, we're going to continue on with the end game to Grant Morrison's Action Comics run.
Just for you, Caleb.
Yeah, exactly. Caleb's like, "What? I thought we were done with the Action run." And so,
just goes to prove Caleb cannot win.
No, no, sir. So we lead off with a cover. This is Action Comics 17. Cover date of April 2013. Cover copy reads Lord Vindictivix Triumphant.
Say that five times fast.
I cannot. I as you can see, I was barely able to say it one time.
If you could say it five times fast, then he would send him back to his home dimension.
this is true. This is, yes, exactly. So we have this three-faced demon
He's
imp.
Actually five-faced.
Ah.
Yeah, you can only see three, though, I guess.
Yeah. Right, five makes sense because, of course, fifth dimension, exactly. Which I always thought was a soul band.
It's the Age of Aquarius.
Yes, indeed. And we have a not happy looking Crypto sitting in kryptonite chains as Lord Vindictivix stands over a shattered bronze statue of Superman.
That's and, right.
Yeah, statue. Oh, this one's empty. We did too long a pre-show.
Stupid Skype.
All right. So let's see here. All right. So that's kind of what we've got going on here. We've got the bronze statue all shattered, all that kind of stuff. Because of course, the previous issue alluded to the first death of Superman and and red skies and sort of all of those little crisis metaphors. All right, so we open the issue with it looks like a bunch of emergency vehicles at a car wreck, and we see a young Clark Kent in a tuxedo with the bow tie undone, like he's Tony Bennett or something.
Swinging, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And he's saying, "Ma, Pa." And he says, "They only wanted to make sure I got home safe." Then they show him at the
emergency room.
Yeah, in the emergency room, the 4B wing, with Pete Ross sort of seeing to his friend. Then Clark.
Oh, that's Pete Ross. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and then. See, you because what you were looking for when I said Pete Ross, you were like, yeah, the black guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Because you were thinking Smallville. I totally was, too. And it's like, what? Pete Ross is a blonde white dude? Oh,
why
yeah.
Why are you changing it up? That's racist.
Oh, please don't get started with this again. I've been going back and forth with New Mutant all week about crap like this.
All right, then. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny that just watching a show, because Pete was only on it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And but watching the show has completely turned my head around as to who the character is. All right. So he's at Jonathan's hospital bed, and Jonathan tells him that Martha is dead, but he saw angels gather her up. And he says, "I'm going to die. I know that. I want to die at home." And so Clark picks up his father against the doctor's objections. And Clark walks out of that hospital room with his father and says, "You can do what you want, Pa. I'll make sure of that." And they head back to the Kent farm. And
you have to sign your paperwork. In triplicate.
He didn't fill out the insurance forms.
I know.
And so we get that iconic recreation of the deathbed scene, and one that's been absent from the Superman mythology for some years.
He's not Glenn Ford.
Well, Glenn Ford is just in the driveway. I mean, it's just not the same.
That's true. Yeah.
But you know, this was the scene that we always used to see in Silver Age. Going back to the Golden Age, obviously, because again, of course, this is Morrison's riff on the Golden Age Superman, but you know, that was an image that stayed with them for quite some time. Of course, it would later evolve to be both Jonathan and Martha at the same time. But so he says, he talks, you know, it's basically, it's the same speech that Jeff East gives in the first Superman movie with the, all my powers and I couldn't save him kind of thing. he apologizes for not having been there for Jonathan. And Jonathan tells him, no man on earth has the amazing powers you have. Promise me you'll use them to become a force for good, a champion of the downtrodden. Never give up the fight to make the world a better place, son. And then he's gone. And so
no pressure.
Yeah, exactly. So we have that that deathbed image that, again, you know, this goes way back to early issues of the original Action Comics run. Yeah. And then we see in the graveyard, we see the gravestones for Martha Clark Kent and Jonathan Kent. And we see Clark walking away from the grave while Lana remains.
Sad Hulk music plays.
Totally does. And then Superman and the all of a sudden we come back, we snap back to the current time. I was going to say the 21st century. Yes, because it was like 1,000 years ago that Jonathan died. Guy whose name I've already forgotten is saying, why not just die? And he punches Superman while Superman is wrapped up in kryptonite chains.
And there's another statue.
Yep. Yeah. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
I get the feeling we're going to see that a lot.
Yeah.
So, yes, and the title reads Superman and the Fiend from Dimension 5.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, and we get credits. Grant Morrison, writer. Brad Walker and Rags Morales, pencilers. Andrew Hennessy, Mark Probst, and Cam Smith, inkers. Gabe Eltreb and Brad Anderson, colorists. Steve Wands, letterer. And Morales and Anderson did the cover. And there was also a variant cover by Terry and Rachel Dodson.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Yeah, no, nor did I. Well, maybe it'll show up at the end, because they often show the variant covers at the end of the digital comics. Will Moss, associate editor. Matt Idelson, editor. So, Superman, of course, created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Superman's getting the beat on, and the guy's like, die again and again and again, and the guy just like totally slams him. I'm not sure if that's would that be a body slam, guys?
No, that's a double axe handle chop.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Scott wow. Speaks the truth.
That's awesome. And we see the little man in this beast's eyes saying, "You're at your best when you're dying," and Superman is. He's fighting it. And he says, I told you, I have other plans. And we see this guy picking up the statue.
Oh, yeah.
As if to beat Superman over the head with it, you know, talk about a symbolic gesture. And he does. He whacks him with it. He says, plans? I don't care. And he continues beating Superman with the statue.
Ammo.
Foreign object. Disqualification.
Yeah. No, this is a no-holds-barred match.
Oh.
It's a
hardcore rules.
Yeah.
So we go into the time stream, and here's what brings us here, guys. The plan. We see the Legionnaires sitting in the time bubble, and note again. I question whether or not this Lightning Lad has the robot arm, and that makes it more interesting when he comes out.
I think he does. I think it's just that he wears like a suit over it.
Like, in other words, it's just a really good robot. Like, he's got one of those Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, he doesn't have like the clanky robot arm. He's
right,
just got
right. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Upscale.
He has it when it's convenient.
Indeed. and now this is going to take us back to that scene. Because you remember there were in the first issue of Action Comics, there was that scene where of. This run of Action Comics, there was the scene where Mrs. Nixley, Clark's landlord, talks about how his three friends came by to visit. So that's the scene that we're about to see. So they are talking about their plan, and Saturn Girl is saying, our future happened because Superman died. We have to save his life, even if it costs each of us our own. The plan is a last-ditch attempt to prevent the age of Universal by rewriting the past. So in other words, we know that your Universal has taken over. We've seen that. And that a lot of that was explained last issue as to how he did so. And
with the mustache.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so what they're doing is they're trying to make it so it never happened, which... considering all what they talk about, like, don't mess with the time stream, it's kind of messing with the time stream.
It must be desperate.
It's desperate.
Absolutely.
Desperation move.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Lightning Lad says, there's a reason why I always wanted to be a superhero. Moments like this take me right back. And so we flash back to Mrs. Nixley on the rooftop hanging out the laundry, and that is quite a little number Imra is wearing.
No kidding. Where's she going to a fancy dress ball?
No wonder Mrs. Nixley talked about how good looking they were. Uh-huh. So she says, Clark Kent, what do you want to know? And Saturn Girl says, we're old friends, Mrs. Nixley. We were only trying to find out when his parents died. Exactly when.
Ooh.
And so we see Jonathan lifting up the hood to a vehicle to look in the look at the engine, and we see the little man standing behind him. And Jonathan says, anything else I can do to help, don't hesitate to ask. And the little man says, I'll let you know, Mr. Kent. Let you know. Exactly. And so we see Saturn Girl and Lightning Lad. They're in Clark's room, and they're looking at this picture of his parents, and they're talking to Mrs. Nixley. It's a wordless scene. Lightning Lad's wearing the three-piece suit. Dang. Then we flash back to the accident. We see the truck on its side. We see Martha and Jonathan both thrown from the wreckage, and we see the Legionnaires appear in the background. And they say, we're too late. And they go over to Martha, and she says, Jonathan, there's no pain. Tell him I love him. And she says, tell him yourself through me. And so she thought cast.
Tell him yourself. I got things to do.
Got places to be, lady. I'm from the future.
Can't you see I'm dressed all fancy?
And so she says, love you, Johnny, always. And then she's gone. We see, looks like the little man watching the funeral. We see Lana standing there. We see Clark kneeling down beside the gravestone, and a few other people sort of looking on. Then we flash back to Glenn Morgan. This was the guy that that Superman basically held out the window the whole bit in the first issue.
Ah, yes.
And he's saying, it's a done deal. And it's not Glenn Morgan. It's the guy that replaced Glenn Morgan.
Glenn Ross.
Glenn Fittick?
I don't remember his name. We'll have to check that before we finish up. Anyway, so he says, and it's a done deal. And the little man says, Glenn Morgan's fall cleared the way for the rise and fall of Lex Luthor. A new monster, far worse than the old one. Superman was preoccupied in a cat-and-mouse game with Icarus for years, while I struck in a dozen places. I almost get the feeling that that is Glenn Morgan, and the little man's kind of giving us a third-person narrative.
Yeah?
You never know. No, yeah. Because he's interacting with the dude as well, so...
It's weird, yeah. It's like something out of a Harvey Pekar comic.
Yeah, a little bit.
So the guy says, how about a drink to celebrate this turning point? And he says, no thanks, I'm teetotal. The thing is, it's hard to maneuver here with so few dimensions. Still, it worked with old man Kent's handkerchief, Glenn Morgan's tie. The rules of isomorphic magic say I can use Superman's cape to help bring about his downfall. So I've arranged events to bring him down to Earth. Let's watch. Yeah, I do think that's Glenn Morgan, and I think he's just kind of slipping back and forth dimension-wise.
He is.
It's an odd little narrative.
Once you see the next page, you can really tell.
Right. Yeah. Good
He's
point.
Basically just bippy bopping through the history of action up till now.
Right.
And giving us a little bit of color commentary.
Crazy. So, yeah, this is where Superman does is care to waste some more bullets, boys. And they take the shot at him with the bazooka or the rocket launcher. And he goes flying off the building. And the little man says, "See here, the oaf's at my mercy." "What? No." And so there's someone else looking at the cape saying, "Awesome." And the little man says, "Why didn't I foresee this? I need extra arms and legs and eyes in this little world. I need an army of Superman haters." And so you see him negotiating with all of the guys that ended up joining his little team. And he says, it is neat. And he's like, "Let's you and I make a deal." Then we see Superman. And Nimrod's taking a shot at Superman. He says, "Got him. No recoil. You say it's a teleport rifle?" "Yeah, they're antiques in the 31st century, Nimrod. There's more where this came from if you and the others fetch me Superman's kryptonite engine."
"Yeah, Nimrod."
Nimrod, yeah. And Superman lands and says, "That's sound." And he sees the Legion, and they say, we have to go back in time to the day kryptonite was stolen. There's not a moment to lose." And this was the whole story in 5 and 6.
Yep.
Then we're back to this scene with the guy beating down on Superman. You know, "That's it. You failed your master. Let your spirit die, space dog." And he sees this Eric guy. He says, "You can still help me. You were a scientist." And he says, I am a scientist. Feel so hollow." And Superman says, "I know there's a decent man in there." And the so-called decent man throws Superman into a car. And he says, "I know there's good in you." And all the people are like seeing Superman's in trouble. And it's like in the Spider-Man movie where they're like, "Oh, we're going to move the cranes and help Superman." Or Spider-Man, and we're going to do that. And they're like, "Superman's in trouble. Help me get these chains off the guy, you know, because he's a hero of the people, right?"
Yeah.
And he says, "No, get back. He'll help you." But they're like, "Whatever. We don't care."
Whatevs.
And they say, "Give me a hand here. He's dying, for God's sake." And Superman says, "I owe you. Now get away." How rude. No. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
The guy says, "You know what I am? An unstoppable killer franchise from a parallel reality. A thought that gets bigger and bigger the more you think it. The thought of a Superman better than you."
Uh-oh.
And so Superman, what does he do here?
He melts down the door.
The bit of the door of the car. Eye. Neat.
So molten metal into his face.
As he throws it, see, people say you can't do something new with Superman's powers. As he throws this car door at the guy's face, he zaps it with the heat vision and basically melts it and fuses it to his face so he can't see. And he's talking to the Legionnaires, and he says, "So what happened to you? You're hurt. It's been months since I last saw you." And I said, "What happened to you?" And he says, "Zadu." That was the guy's name. "Zadu got loose." He says, "This is it, isn't it? Vindictivix is about to attack from the fifth dimension." And Imra says, and now Imra is actually talking as opposed to just thought casting. She says, "He's always attacking. This is just where you start to really feel it."
Huh.
And he says, "You all know the future, Saturn woman. Do I win?" And then she's back to thought casting. You can tell because her eyebrows are different. And she says, "You have to go to Mars next. After that, it's all up to you, Superman."
"Get your ass to Mars."
"There's the bomb."
So she says,
"Yes, look for Quatu."
What's that?
"Yes, look for Quatu."
Quatu, yes. So she says, "How could I tell him? Superman died." And then say, "Superman died a second, final time. That's what this is all about. Don't forget that." I almost feel like he's telling the reader, just in case you're confused. Superman died
Which
again.
You probably are, especially if you haven't read the issues before this one.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah. Even if you have, a lot of them have come off as kind of straightforward, and now you're kind of seeing what that was all about.
Yeah.
you know, you're kind of getting extra information about some of the scenes that happened in those issues. So that what they have to do is prevent Superman's death, which will then somehow stop the rise of Universo and save the lives of all their friends. All they have to do is wipe out their entire history. Long live the Legion. Then they do do a little Woe Bundy and say, let's finish this. And then we have Mr. Triple X, in the hospital, seeing phantoms and saying what happened to Gizzy, and they say maybe we can help. Where's Gizzy?
Gizzy.
So again, now he's talking about, you know, the thought of Zadu is talking about how he's the thought of a bigger Superman, a stronger, more ruthless Superman. Again, this kind of ties into that whole thing of what everyone's always saying, right? What they're saying, what they want is they don't want the big blue Boy Scout. They want to see a kick-ass Superman. And so it's always, you know, so cast the dark mirror, show us what that would be. So he talks about, he says, look at you, weak poison, relying on yellow sunlight to, and he says, I'm powered by a simple corporate directive, annihilate the competition. Oh, this is interesting. He's doing, you know, it's Morrison doing some meta stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He'd never do that.
Yeah, right. Especially at this point. And so, he's saying about how, you know, yeah, that's a simple directive. He says, look at me, your replacement, the last knight of tomorrow. And we get a loud step aside, and we see Luthor in a big, big, you know, this makes the battle suit look like nothing. He's in a big old Transformer, and he says, nobody kills Superman but Lex Luthor.
It's the Lego set.
Yeah, totally. And then we get the backup story, and
I think Charlie Fish should write everything.
I really have liked what he's done with these backups. Like he's done, because and to be fair, he's had the stuff that's, you know, not really action filled. Mm-hmm. Although, like we were talking about last week. You know, that story, that I'd love to see this dude do the Legion.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Like Silver Age Adventures of the Legion, like that kind of thing. Because that was awesome. It was a lot of fun. He's been doing some great stuff. And I know he's done a lot of work on the Johnny DC stuff. I was reading one of the Super Friends issues with Ella last night, and I noticed he was the writer. And he's done a lot of this kind of stuff. He gets the essence of these characters.
Did he do any work on the Johnny DC Legion book?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'd have to check.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I figured if anyone knew, it would be Scott.
Yeah, I have them all, but I haven't paid attention.
I know he did some Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. The Super Friends stuff, definitely came out after the Legion book.
Yeah.
So, anyway, some really cool stuff from this guy. And I've really loved, he's hit a lot of those real emotional moments in his action run. Like, remember there was the backup story where Clark finally leaves the Kent farm?
Yeah.
And that was really well done. And he's doing a lot of that stuff with a lot fewer pages, but he hits those points, and he manages, you know, he tugs at the right heartstrings. And if I remember correctly, this backup is no exception. We see a bow tie being tied, and it's Martha saying, 17 years old, you can lift a tractor over your head and you still can't tie a bow tie. Hmm. Well, I can't lift a tractor over my head, and I go with the clip on. but the main reason you want the one that you tie up is so that you can do that Tony Bennett moment at the end of the night. Then we see Superman with a bunch of people in front of him. Yeah, I know we've seen that scene, and I'm just not recalling it. It switches, you know, so we get sort of a lot of back and forth of, Clark, Superman, a little juxtaposition there. And so he thanks Ma for tying his bow tie, and Jonathan points out, you know, don't pay your Ma any mind, Clark. She still ties mine too. So she says, now don't you run off anywhere before I take a picture. Where did I put that camera? So she gets the, so we're, yeah, what we're seeing is just a whole lot of scenes of Superman getting the crap beat out of him. So we switch, he's out, Clark's out on the porch, and, Jonathan comes out to talk to him, and he says, senior prom, guess that means graduation's right around the corner. Won't be long before you're off making your own way in the world. Pretty exciting. Cut to a scene of Superman being thrown and shattering the ground, you know,
when he came back from Mars.
Yeah, exactly. So this is him flying down from Mars. So it's the whole fire of burning of reentry, etc. Then he says, yeah, I guess. And then we see him getting clocked by Zadu. And Jonathan just looks at him for a moment. And again, we see another scene of Superman getting, you know, the crap beat out of him. And so Jonathan, you know, takes that pause, and he comes up and he goes, a little scary too, huh? And we see Superman, you know, we see Superman in the kryptonite chains, and Clark says, well, it's just that you and Ma and all my friends will be here. And Jonathan says, and you'll be someplace new, far away. And we see Zadu, you know, hitting a big punch on Superman. Jonathan says to him, none of us can know what the future will bring, Clark. But the important thing is, huh? And then we see the deathbed scene that we saw earlier with Clark next to Jonathan as he dies. And then we see Superman standing in front of Jonathan. And he just pauses and he says, Clark, is that you?
See, editor's note, it takes place after the next issue, so that's why we're not exactly sure what's going on right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay, editor's notes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this one is brought to us again. It's Sholly Fish, writer, Chris Sprouse, penciler, Carl Story, inker, Jordi Belair, colorist, Taylor Esposito, letterer, and the usual crew of Will Moss and Matt Idelson editing, and Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster creating.
I know we're all broken records here, but yay, Chris Sprouse.
Yeah, oh my God. Seriously. It's beautiful, yeah, man.
To reiterate, Sholly Fish and Chris Sprouse, Legion, now.
Mm-hmm. And I tell you, this is different from a lot of Sprouse's stuff.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because, you know, you'd think, oh, well, maybe it's a different inker, but it's Carl Story.
No, it's Carl Story.
You know, it's his usual dude. I love that they're trying something different, and it's still totally working.
I think it's just the evolution of Sprouse's style.
Yeah. Yeah, like you can see elements of the guy that drew that Legion origin story way, way back.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. I love his work. And it's, again, there's always a clarity. So he says, so Superman sees him. He's like, Pa, it can't be. And so Jonathan asks him what he's wearing and why he looks all grown up. And Clark says, Smallville, time must still be unfolding, writing itself. And Jonathan says, oh, I get it. Pulling a prank on the old man, eh? Like the time we... It's not a trick. It's really you. And he hugs him. And Jonathan's like, oh, last time I checked, a little too tight there, son. And he says, sorry, I was so excited to see you after so long. And he says, so long? This isn't a prank, is it? Clark tells him it's a long story. Let's just say that something's going to happen years from now, something that will mix the past and present together for a while. And Jonathan's like, yeah, I know what you're getting at, boy. He says, so you're saying I'm the past and you're from, and he says, my present, your future. Or not. But don't worry about that. I've got so much to tell you and Ma about. My life, my friends, my job. Well, my regular job. And all of this, too. He says, hold on. Slow down. Just tell me two things. Are you happy? Yes. Are you helping people? As much as I can. Then that's all I need to know. Except maybe one other thing. If you're in such a rush to tell your Ma and me about everything, then I'd guess we're probably not around to see it all for ourselves, are we? He's boom, speechless,
boom,
yeah.
Boom.
And he says, well, all right then. That's it? I never really thought I'd live forever, Clark. Happens to all of us sooner or later. Besides, what did I always teach you? Nobody knows what the future holds, but the important thing is to face it with courage and your head held high. And they both say in unison, because Kents aren't quitters. And he says, that's gotten me through a lot over the years. Thanks, Pa. And he says, anytime. He says, no, I mean thanks to you and Ma for everything. I love you, Pa. Love you too, son. Aw. They hug, and then all of a sudden there's Clark, and he's like, Pa, what's going on? He says, you started to say something, then the next thing I know, you're hugging me. Huh? Oh, sorry, Clark. Guess I'm getting sentimental in my old age. Must be from seeing you grow up so fast. What I was going... That's great.
Literally.
Yeah, what I was going to say is that, sure, change can be scary if you never try anything new. You'll never really know what you can do. Whatever life brings you, the important thing is to meet it with your head held high. And then they both say, because Kents aren't quitters. Martha finally makes her way out. She's finally found that dang old camera. She says, oh, there you two are. Now I hold still now so I can get a shot of my two boys. This is one day we're going to want to remember for many years to come. And that's, and she takes that picture that we've seen before. Yeah. So. No, oh, yeah. So there, and there is the Terry Dodson, Terry and Rachel Dodson cover had baby Kal-El, little boy Kal-El, wearing a red cape. And then, of course,
jeans and work boots, Kal-El.
Yeah. And then, yeah, exactly. So, sort of the whole round. So, yeah. So, you know, 18 clears up a lot of this stuff, but, you know, it's, again, there's a lot going on in this story, and it is the whole time unfolding thing, and that can always get kind of...
Wibbly wobbly.
Indeed. So,
but even not knowing what exactly is going on, that backup story told its story and did what it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that it's one of those things I've found is that you kind of worry sometimes when the backup story is written by someone different and is supposed to basically provide some of that key information that that explains why things are the way they are now. Often they end up explaining much more about that main story than just reading the main story did.
Absolutely.
And mm-hmm. So it becomes a neat palate cleanser for the more cerebral stuff that Morrison is getting into with it. And it kind of acts as a bit of a palate cleanser for that, and gives you kind of the emotional tie. And I think they've been paired really well together, because you've got Morrison going off on kind of the intellectual flight of fancy with it, and then you've got Sholey Fish in the backups really grounding it and kind of bringing it back down. That's not to say that Lord Vindictivix doesn't look like a Buffy villain. Which one were you saying, Scott?
Sorry, what?
Which Buffy villain were you saying he looks most like?
The guy from the musical episode.
Mm. Right, hence our title today. Right, yeah, exactly. I figured either that or like the Joel Grey character in the fifth season. Either way, creepy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Creepy. I kept expecting to make Superman tap dance. All right. So, any other thoughts on this issue of Action?
No, it's interesting, but we definitely need the next issue to sort of figure out
yeah.
the whole deal.
Yeah, especially me.
But it's more. I mean, it's Morrison playing his long game, right? Like,
yeah,
referring to basically everything that he's done so far. So if you haven't read it all, you may be lost.
And a lot of it, it's funny because, you know, we talked at the time about how it's like that Legion story in 5 and 6 came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, and part of it was it got pushed up a couple of months, and so it kind of got switched around in the batting order. But I don't think it would have felt any less incongruous at the time if it had come out in the time it was supposed to. You know, it still seemed kind of odd. And but now you're sort of getting the reason why, and it's like it all starts to come together. It's like, oh, that's why they did this, and you know, we're getting sort of a lot of those blanks filled in. All right, so before we get to SmackDown rounds, mm-hmm. We're gonna do a little stump the subs.
Oh dear.
Oh my.
All right, Dan's not here, so that's gonna be very interesting.
Indeed.
It's all you, Scott.
Oh yeah, I'm on it. Got it.
All right, I'm gonna leave the first one because it. Okay. All right. No. I'm gonna read the first three questions, even though. There's like four questions for the. Okay. So, Legion of Superheroes 200. Question one. What was the main storyline of that issue?
What?
Superboy and the Legion 200.
That's the wedding of Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel.
Boom.
Yay.
Boom. Absolutely. All right. Now we have four questions on Legion of Superheroes 210. And what I will do is we'll come back to other questions later. I'm going to be reading this particular set. Oh, sorry. These are from Omega 2550. I'll be coming back to this particular email several times because he's sent like a million questions.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so we've got lots to keep us going for a while. So, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes 210. What technology was said to have been lost during World War VI?
Cloning technology.
Matt?
No clue.
No, the answer is, in fact, antimatter fusion.
Oh, of course.
How is Phantom Girl injured in this issue?
Groin pull.
Wizard did it.
Wizard did it. Magic?
No. The answer.
I think it's safe to say we don't know.
Really? The answer is, in fact, with a knife. With a knife.
Cuts like a knife.
Who saves Phantom Girl in this issue?
Boy?
Yeah.
Hmm? Who? What?
Ultra Boy?
No, this is the one issue in which she wasn't saved by Ultra Boy.
Curse you, Ultra Boy.
No, it was Chameleon Boy.
He can only save one person at a time.
And how does he do it?
Ultra acting.
No, it was Chameleon Boy.
Oh. Oh, I was answering Scott's question.
Becoming a monster that eats the knife? I don't know.
You're very close.
Ooh.
I have no clue.
By turning into a phantom and removing the knife. And the reason that's significant is because he can't do that.
Oh.
He can make himself look like a piece of inertron, but he does not turn into inertron. So he cannot turn, you know, this was debated many times. But yeah, sometimes.
Chameleon King.
Exactly. Writers would forget that.
For all intents and purposes, Phantom Girl is dead right now.
Yes.
She's a phantom. Duh.
There you go. See? Before it was because of her superpowers, now it's because she's a ghost.
Oh, nuts. Mom's a ghost.
Oh, now on the Disney Channel.
Well, at least we pulled that first question out.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got many more to come to later, and we will do that. So thank you, Omega 2550.
For those of you wishing to submit Stump the Subs questions, please try to... stick to the format of three questions at a time. That would be very helpful in sorting it all out in the future.
One original, one Archie, one reboot.
Yeah. So remember, you're hitting the three different eras. That said, he's gonna have a lot of trivia on 5 years later. So that'll be
which is cool.
That'll be fun.
There's nothing wrong with you know a special three questions about a certain theme or blah blah blah.
Absolutely not.
But sticking to three makes it a lot easier on Paul because he has a hard time reading. He's getting old.
If nothing else, because I've got to like where's the email for that? So anyway, so we've got that. We'll come back to that one later. And yeah, it's a first world problem for sure. All right, so SmackDown time.
Oh no!
Wait, where's my Star Trek fight music?
Dun, 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 dun.
Wait, there it is. I still have it open from last week on the laptop. All right. All right, today on this week's edition of...
Legion SmackDown.
Yes, on the... No, my... It defected what it thought was feedback. It wasn't feedback. It was just the sheer awesomeness of Spock versus Kirk. All right, so yes. Previously on Legion SmackDown, we saw Calamity King trounced by Reflecto and Feral Lad barely beaten by Sensor Girl. Okay, beaten quite handily. But anyway. So this week...
We've got Mon-El.
It really doesn't like the... keeps freaking out over the...
Star Trek music.
Star Trek music. Yeah, it's like feedback has been detected. No, it hasn't. It's just someone made a really bad copy of it for YouTube on their TV. That's all. All right, so today, yes, Element Lad versus Gates and Mon-El versus Excess. First battle will be Element Lad versus Gates. So this is Scott's first pick and Matt's last pick.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
All right. And hang on one second. Let me draw a random number. And boom. Wait, sorry. You guys got to make it easier on me. All right. All right. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
4.
Matt?
8.
Okay. Scott, you go first because the answer was 2.
Ah.
All right. So you get first.
Okay. So Element Lad enters the arena and Gates is there, I guess. Element Lad reasons with Gates and says, look, we shouldn't be fighting. I think you know it's true. We should not give the man the satisfaction.
Damn the man. Damn the man.
I suggest we sit here and try to think of another solution to our problem. Because honestly, if we have to fight, you will be destroyed, and I'd hate to do that.
Yes. And Gates, he pretty much would agree with that. There's really only one situation that I could see him winning, but I think Gates would take the smart way out and just say, oh, there you go, you've got the win.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me.
What? That was no SmackDown.
No, because the only way Gates could possibly win is catch him by surprise and pour it to Trom and hope he cried.
Honestly, because if it came down to a fight, the Element Lad simply takes away all the oxygen from around him or turns his chitinous coating into helium and leaves his insides to bake in the sun. There's just too many ways that he could just encase him in lead and he couldn't even go through his gates.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Makes a block of salad in a Tron.
All right. Yeah. So then, not only with the concession of Gates in this, but also with the fact that Element Lad manned up, I deem this round to go to Element Lad.
You're a very wise decision.
Yes.
You're the best judge ever.
All right. I don't like the way this is going to go. So in the next round, Element Lad will face off against Reflecto. All right. So, Let's see. So next up is Mon-El versus XS. Matt,
I
you
went first last
yeah,
time.
Matt, so. Yeah, Matt, you get to go first because Scott went first last time. So Mon-El versus XS. So let's just actually, you know what? And I should have done this with the last bunch, but of course Mon-El, Largand of Daxam, Phantom Zone, Thousand Years, etc., etc. A little emotional at times. XS, from the Archie Legion, she is a descendant of, well, actually, she's a descendant of the Thons, but am I correct with that? Right?
Well, she's a descendant of both, isn't she?
Right. So basically, she descends from the Barry Allen line along with his twin Thon, and so yeah, she's from the Thon side of the family, I think.
She's Dawn is her mother, I believe.
Oh, okay. So she's directly descended from from Barry.
She's descended from both.
Yeah, so she's Barry's granddaughter.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. And of course the original Impulse, Bart Allen, you know, now Kid Flash, perhaps. Anyway, so yeah, so she is part of the Flash family, so a super speedster.
Oh yes.
So there we go. So Matt, how does Mon-El lead off this fight?
By much like Element Lad, he tries to just talk her out of it because he can. All she can do is run fast, and he can match her every move and just blast her with his heat vision and take her out.
I think she can dodge his heat vision for quite a bit.
Yeah.
This crowd wants blood. You guys aren't going to get away with the they sit down and talk thing. This crowd wants blood, and you know tomorrow people are going to be calling bullshit.
Okay. Well, in order for Mon-El to beat XS, he's got to catch her, or at the very least, he's got to tag her with an I beam or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where are they fighting?
Okay, so let's. We had a whole lot.
This is something we should figure out at some point. This is something we should have figured out before we even started this mess.
Probably.
But,
yeah. Yeah.
But that's how we roll. We make it up as we go along.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So.
What I think I may do this week is come up with a list of locations and just attach it to like a random number or whatever, like a
yeah.
So you know, I can roll like a D20 or something like that, and there are 20 different places that they could be.
And that'd be great actually, because then it it forces you to sort of adjust thinking as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So at any rate, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick the first one that someone suggested in the thread.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so in the thread, and we've got this actually, you can see the SmackDown card on our Facebook page, facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. Okay, so, where are they happening? Where are they happening? Sorry, folks.
David Akers says Kundia is the first.
All right, they are in the arena on Kundia, and so yes, this crowd definitely wants blood.
Yes.
Okay. Well then, XS is going to race around the arena, dodging whatever it is that Mon-El tries to put at her, and as he's about to tag her with his eye beams, she vibrates through the wall and disappears.
Mon-El, he'll just fly out and fly over the arena and use his the whatever you call it, the telescopic vision, and and try to find her, and it would just keep seeking her out.
Well, it turns out she's actually stopped just outside the wall of the arena.
Uh-oh. So I think he would then try to just do a dive attack, but instead of hitting her, he'd go through the ground.
Ah, yes.
Sling attack. Take her by surprise.
Oh, interesting. Well, hello?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh.
Yes, hello.
Well, I think she can feel Mon-El vibrating, coming through the ground. I mean, it's probably not the most quiet of things.
He's not subtle, is he? Yeah.
But as Mon-El bursts up through the ground, he is face to face with a Phantom Zone generator.
Oh.
And she gives it a flick.
What's the call, Edda?
She's got super speed.
Here's my thinking. I've got Brainiac 5 on my team. Brainiac 5 plans for everything.
Well, then Gear appears and shuts it down.
Oh.
Well, no, you can't get involved in the match. That's cheating.
Brainiac 5 team.
He's got a point.
Well, no, Brainiac 5 made a plan.
Influence.
A plan is a plan.
I think at any rate, we know that they've got a Phantom Zone projector in Legion headquarters.
Mm-hmm. But we're not in Legion headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, yeah. Kundia, so. All right, I'll take that. Okay, so
yeah,
then
yeah.
In that case. Oh, damn it. Well, here's her last ditch effort then would be to vibrate her fist through Mon-El's chest and deposit a pellet of lead coated in the anti-lead serum antidote.
Yeah, he'd still have then at least 24 hours to get through, and I think he would just. Now stop playing nice and start going after her full throttle.
And she would probably lose. Okay.
he breaks out the... Come on, he's got to break out the heat vision and carve an image of Darkseid or something.
Yes.
Because that's what Daxamites do, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I tried to come up with something, but yeah, it's
a tough one, but
yeah, you know, but see, that's great though, because when we you're right, going forward we'll draw for location, and that will make all the difference as far as what do you have readily available.
Because
yeah, you're on Kundia, it's like,
man, not much rocks. To go on.
yeah that's you know, I get that guy's choking throttle. So, yes, I deem Mon-El to have won this one.
I grudgingly accept your
invitation. Yeah. Now, I guess I had always thought of these as more like just sort of, they're like a Mortal Kombat thing. So you have kind of what you go in with. But I can see a case for the other. You know,
I was sort of playing by the Jesse the Body Ventura rules, where it doesn't matter how the wind gets there, as long as the wind gets there. And when you've got someone like Brainiac 5 on your side, they're bound to come up with at least a couple little tricks to give the underdog something to do.
Yeah.
Other than stand there and get pummeled.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right. So Mon-El wins the match.
Ah, yeah.
And
so, effort from Jenny.
Yeah, seriously. She gave a Daxamite a run for his money, literally. So Mon-El will face off against Princess Projectra, Sensor Girl.
Ooh.
In the second round.
That will be interesting.
Which we'll get to sometime around 2015. Because we still got like 14 more of these to do. It's a good thing we're doing two per. All right, so up next week, we will see Duplicate Boy. Wait. Yeah. So Duplicate Boy will face Gear, and Wildfire will face Rainbow Girl.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that way that way as long as as all of us are there, then that'll be sort of one for each team, and that's really the way we should do it. Then you can sort of just think of the one fight. Mm. And so they're going to start getting a little bit closer as we go. The following week it'll be Harmonia versus Supergirl, and Color Kid versus Saturn Girl. So some interesting matchups there. So that's the round of Legion SmackDown. Legion news wise, we have a cover for, is it issue 19
or 20?
Well, 19 was the 19 was the,
is 19. No. Yeah. 19
this is 20.
Was,
yeah.
Yeah. 19 was the flippy outie cover with,
20
with
is the one that's out this week
with Mon-El getting it handed to him by the Emerald Empress. Wait a second. So yeah, I think it's for the cover for issue 20, which shows Brainy with a whole bunch of monitors with Legionnaires on it, some of the suspected dead Legionnaires, and so some speculation as to, well, how do these guys do? So I just want to bring up the cover here just so we can take a look at it. And hey, also on our Facebook page, Darren Goodhart did a really cool recreation of awesome. Shade the Changing Man cover, like the Ditko style. It looks awesome. Love it.
I really liked how he did the breakdowns of his process.
Yeah, that was neat.
Well, I haven't seen that part of it.
Well,
cool.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm looking at it now. I only see the one, but the first one, there it is. He's got two posts on there. One of them has all of the.
Oh, yeah, I see it. I see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, so check it out. He shows Ditko's original cover, then he shows the pencils that he did, and he drew this on his iPad. And then with the inks, and then as he started adding in the logo and everything. So he inked it using Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop, and then recreated the logo with it. It looks awesome. He did a really great job of it, and so you guys should check it out.
Yeah.
And Keith Giffen, it seems, is going to be working on He-Man and Friends.
He has been working on He-Man.
You're right. He has. But he's also going to be working on He-Man and Friends invading the DC Universe in the fall. So, yes, the minute, so it shows, the cover shows basically He-Man and other people from He-Man, I don't know, fighting the Justice League.
I don't have the image in front of me, but I can probably name them all.
Yeah.
I could totally name them all.
She-Ra, Man-at-Arms was one of the guys, I think. And then there's some dude in
Man-at-Arms is the guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. And then there's a guy in a suit of armor.
Ram-Man, maybe?
Probably Ram-Man, yeah.
Does he look like the Juggernaut?
Okay, here, I got the picture here. Hold on, let me see.
It looks like he's got like a red knight's visor, and I'm assuming that's She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Actually, it's probably Teela.
Oh,
Man at Arms' daughter.
Oh, okay, red hair.
Yeah.
Okay, so Keith Giffen will be writing it. Dexter Soy will be the artist, and so basically, they show up in the Masters of the Universe show out. In the DC Universe, coming to stop Skeletor from doing to the DCU what he's always wanted to do to Eternia. So, and it's interesting because when you think of
which issue of DC Comics Presents did He-Man meet Superman?
47.
47.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The yeah, you're right. It is totally Teela. If you recall the Masters of the Universe movie. Was basically there's that. It wasn't well done, but it was basically a riff on the Fourth World, essentially.
Yeah,
and not an entirely successful one. It seemed very Howard the Ducky.
You say that like it's a bad thing,
but not in a good way. Because there is a good way to be Howard the Ducky.
No, Leah Thompson.
Well, that was part of the problem right there. All right, so that cover for And there's a couple of covers that have been out there, actually. Originally the cover that we'd seen was by Perez, and we had Validus fighting against the Black Witch. And that may still be the cover. You know, this may be a variant. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway, so this one shows Brainy sitting over a bunch of shattered equipment with images behind him. And it looks to me like, so we have, it looks like Ultra Boy, Phantom Girl, Dream Girl. So yeah, I don't get the impression that these are all the fallen Legionnaires. It's just a bunch of Legionnaire images around him and sort of lamenting maybe the loss of Legionnaires. We got Polar Boy there. We got Block, Duplicate Damsel perhaps. And I think that's Bouncing Boy over there. And then Chameleon Boy. Anyway, so not sure what that means. But it comes out, is that this week?
Yes.
All right, so we'll know then. And I'm just wondering on how many people are drawing this issue. it says Portela.
I believe Francis Portela posted on Facebook that this is his last issue of the series. So I would that would lead me to believe that he did the whole thing.
Okay. Okay, so so he is perhaps in it then. It sounds likely. I wonder.
Let me see if I can find it.
I wonder then what we're going to end up with. Is it going to be the Collins and Johnson show or what? I'd
like it if Johnson was the
His stuff was all right. I just like this there to be some consistency. I think that you know, just sort of that would be nice.
Very much so.
According to Francis Portela's post on Facebook, it's written by Paul Levitz and art by Francis Portela and Javier Mania.
All right, then. So we got one guy through our... Yeah, because Mania's inking him, correct?
Yeah.
Oh, the colorist. Right. Oh, that's right. Because they do always work together. So, okay, so that... So at least we get a whole issue with one artist. That would be nice. And it's Portela. So, there we go. But yeah, his last issue, yeah. So, I wonder. Wonder what that means. So, well, I guess we'll find out soon enough. All right. Anyone got anything else?
No.
All right, then. Comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page. If you're not already on Facebook, where you could just type Legion of Substitute Podcasters into the search box, you can just enter into your address bar, facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, as I just did a short while ago to get there. We are also on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble. And as time continues to unfold, we hope that we end up back in the 21st century. And we will see you all next week.
By the power of Grayskull.